It's about, you know, the friendship and rivalry and how the rivalry was constructed by fans and by journalists and to some degree by the groups themselves. I read the news
today. You have not disclosed who you prefer, and we'll leave it that way. But when we talk about your preference or even other people's, do you imagine that it's about the music or about what they stood for?
I think that in the 60s, it was what they stood for. You know, and a lot of young people, again, the more disaffected or alienated young people tended to glom onto what the Stones were doing. And the Stones just seemed to win greater credibility with, you know, hipper or more bohemian youth, at least, you know, in the early 60s. Whereas, you know, for a long time, the Beatles were still thought to, you know, they were winning mostly the support of, you know, very young girls. And people sometimes forget how young the Beatles, you know, core audience was in the 1960s. But as the decade went on, that changed, of course. And then nowadays, both groups are so widely accepted by the broader culture that I don't think that opposition that I mentioned earlier still stands. Well, we all need someone we can lean on.
And if you want it, well, you can lean on me. Weren't the Stones sort of accused of imitating the Beatles on certain songs?
Sure. This is one thing that really rankled John Lennon quite a bit. And, you know, there's various instances of this. The Beatles came out with their album Rubber Soul in 1965, which was thought to be their most mature and autobiographical record. It was meant to sort of critically reposition themselves into a more serious direction. And then shortly afterwards, the Stones did the same thing with Aftermath. And then in 1967, the Beatles had all that success with Sgt. Pepper, which was their, you know, psychedelic record, and then soon the Stones came out with a psychedelic record of their own, Her Satanic Majesty's Request, which didn't really suit the Stones, and so that was widely panned as ersatz Beatles.
I know that the Beatles released Yesterday, and then the Stones shortly after put out As Tears Go By.
Yesterday was an odd song for the Beatles at the time because it was written by Paul McCartney. He's the only one that performed on that song. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. And he just sang along with a quietly strung guitar, and then they added a string arrangement. And it was a huge success. It's maybe Paul McCartney's most famous song. And then shortly afterwards, the Stones came out with As Tears Go By, which was Mick Jagger singing with just a quietly strung guitar and strings. And, you know, ironically, the Stones had written that song earlier, but they decided not to record it because they felt that it didn't sound like a Stones song.
It is the evening of the day.
When the Beatles had that tremendous success Yesterday, it seemed as if the Stones were trying to mimic what they were doing or move in a similar direction.
What can you tell us about the legacy?
You know, the Beatles broke up in 1970 when they were very much near the height of their power. They never got together again. They never even, in fact, the last time all four Beatles even saw each other in the same room was in September of 1969. And in some ways, I think that enhances their legacy. The Stones, of course, have soldiered on. They've outlasted the Beatles now by 43 years. But I think a lot of critics have noticed that in recent years, certainly they've slowed down and the quality of the work seems to have gone into a bit of decline for a long time. And now they've, of course, they're still touring, but these are nostalgia tours where they're playing the same songs from many, many years ago, mostly to an audience of affluent baby boomers. And I think by sort of carrying on that way and diluting their catalog with some weaker records, they may have undermined their legacy to some degree.
John McMillan, thanks so much for sharing pieces of your new book, Beatles vs. Stones.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.